What's happening here? Wow.
I'm grilling. I'm being like an MC with my mic stand.
So you're still totally into our intro music.
Yes.
Okay.
I love it, man. It just
I do too. Great stuff. But it just amazing. Like you still seem just as into it as when we first started it.
I am. This is our music for life, man. We are never changing it ever.
Wow, we're locking into this intro music forever.
We got big changes coming up that are really not that big after all, they're changes.
They are changes.
Yeah, yeah. So that's exciting.
Some big changes.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're medium sized changes.
Well, you know, it's subjective.
Well,
open to interpretation.
Okay, fair enough.
Some people might think they're pretty big changes.
They might think they're massive. Other people might be like, that's a change. Whatevs. That's not no big change.
It's true.
Changes.
So much anticipation we're building.
You know, here's something I think we should talk about for a minute.
What should we talk about for a minute?
We should talk about Zencastr for a minute. They don't even pay us anything. But if there's any other podcasters out there, I mean, obviously it's great to see your face, Jaquel.
Yeah, Dad.
You're beautiful. You look amazing. Thanks. I don't know how you just had a baby 1 month ago, but you look amazing. Thanks. And it's great to have you in this room. But for 3 months, you weren't in this room.
It's sadly true.
And we used Zencastr, and Zencastr worked like a boss.
It did.
I just feel like, you know, we should take a moment to say, hey, thanks, Zencastr. You guys rock. Not that they're listening in, but, you know.
I completely agree. So, as you know, with my work, I have used a fair number of different audio recording
like how many?
Softwares.
8? 4? 65. How many?
1, 2, 3. You
said a fair number. Five is a fair number.
Yeah.
I agree with your assessment.
Thank you.
Carry on.
And Zencastr, by far, has been the best.
Yeah.
So thank you, Zencastr.
Yeah. We had one hitch, right?
Yes.
Remember we had one hitch. What even was it? The episode wasn't producing. It said it was producing and it was, and I messaged them and their customer service was supremo. So,
which they would have been another service that during this global pandemic, they probably did pretty well.
Yeah,
with
true.
Getting a fair amount of new customers. And so probably their customer service people were trying to be very on top of things.
And my suspicion is that we will probably use Zencastr again.
Probably.
I mean, we have some credits. We bought some editing credits that we used. And so they're still there. So I don't know how much is there, but we'll use it again. So I don't know. I just thought we should give a shout out to Zencastr.
There we go.
So,
shouting out Zencastr.
Also, Jaquel, I have some huge news.
Okay. I like that you started with Zencastr, but you now have huge news.
No, this is huge news. Like, this is something I've been waiting to talk to you about, and I'm like, we need to talk on the pod.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, I recently rolled over my Bible reading plan.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you know what I was doing, right? You know, this year I decided to just do old and new.
Okay, yeah.
But scattered days. Mm-hmm. So I read old one day, new one day. So I just started Genesis, started Matthew, and work my way through.
Yeah.
And you also know what I was reading from, right?
Yeah, you were reading from a paper Bible.
Yeah.
So crazy.
No.
You're done. You're done with that paper?
I didn't even last a month.
No.
I didn't even last a month.
Wow.
And I'm like, hey, this paper book.
Just calm down.
It doesn't keep track of where I'm at. So if the ribbon falls out, I'm like, I don't know where I am.
Wow.
And also, the font is so small.
Oh, my goodness.
And
also,
I don't even know where my Bible is all the time, whereas my phone's always on me. It's just like, no, I just couldn't do it anymore.
Look at you. Man, you have been changed by this digital age.
I'm back to the screen.
Just addicted to your screens.
It's just, I can make the background whatever color I want, and I can make the font whatever size I want. Now, here's something else crazy, Jaquel. Are you ready to have your mind blown again?
I'm ready.
Your mind's already like splattered all over the wall, but now
again.
I'm reading the NASB.
What? This is just getting stranger and stranger. Has an alien inhabited your body?
There's two reasons. One, because of the app I'm using. I'm using an app that it's called the And Bible. It's on the Android.
Yeah.
It's a great app. I love it. But they don't have all the translations on there. And so... And they don't have the CSB or the ESV.
Seriously?
And
they
used to have the ESV, but I don't think they do anymore.
That's so weird.
Anywho, I realized I've never done my Bible in a year with an NASB.
Oh.
And I thought, why not, man?
Jake must be so proud.
Let's just do this, man. So, crazy things going on in my life. Like, how's things going on in your life? Anything near as exciting as that? Probably not.
Not really.
Oh, you do have a baby, though.
I do have a baby.
How's things going with that? How's that all working out for you?
Things are going, you know, they're working out. out quite well. Well.
You're stepping your mom game up, I hear.
Sure.
Yeah, well, you're like out there doing stuff and
getting
things.
Groceries.
I know. Like, yeah. That's crazy. That's impressive, girl.
I try.
I mean, people don't realize that that's a crazy, huge transition in life.
It is a very large transition.
Like, marriage was just like nothing. Like, marriage was like meh, you know, whatever. I mean, like, your mom and I dated for like 5 years before we married. Yeah. So it's like marriage is like, wow, you know, not much change. We just live in the same house, but kids, bam. Kids was like a smack in the face for us. A beautiful smack.
Okay.
A loving
good
smack.
Good to clarify. Good to clarify. I was an angel baby, of course.
You still are an angel. I don't know. I don't know if you were an angel, but
okay, well, thanks. Anyways, Lucy's doing great. She's really starting to get that, you know, hand-eye coordination down.
Ooh.
She can pull my hair now.
Maybe she's going to be a tennis player when she grows
exciting.
Up.
Exciting. One of the ladies from our church thinks she's going to be a piano player because she has long fingers.
okay. That's random.
I don't know. Anyways, she, you know, can fit in her 0 to 3 month clothes now.
That's
exciting. Mm. She's over a month old.
Yeah, how about that, eh? Travis got her some nice birthday presents.
Yep.
I bought her nothing.
That's all right.
I don't buy 1 month birthday presents.
Well,
what do
good,
I look like?
Because then I would expect 2 month
what
birthday
presents. What do you think,
presents.
I'm Santa Claus or something?
Two-month Santa
present.
Claus?
I'll put it this way, okay? When we were at the Walmart the day before her month birthday,
yes.
And your mom picked up the Mickey Mouse onesies, I looked the other way, okay?
Wow.
I didn't buy them. She bought them, but I looked the other way because she looked at me and I would have been like, woman. And she, no, I wouldn't have said woman. That's very
offensive.
Misogynistic. I would have said Diana or whatever.
No, whatever your name
listen,
is.
Listen, I probably would have just said woman. Okay? I don't.
Whoa.
She's my wife.
Confession time on
okay?
the pod. Oh, so that makes it completely allowed to be misogynistic.
It's not.
You heard it on the pod. If you're married, you're allowed to be sexist.
It's not sexist or misogynistic. It's, I'm not even going there. Really? Really?
You walked right into it,
okay.
My friend.
So the baby thing is working out good for you.
The big thing's working out well. Yeah, no.
All right. So lots of big stuff happening in our life.
Lots of big stuff.
I mean, you know, you and the baby whole thing. But me, I changed from paper back to digital Bible.
It just amazes me when I think about the ancient Israelites and just like how they got by without their Bibles on a phone. Like, you know what? That would have been just, I never realized the suffering
you,
that they really
you
went
You do
through.
Know, Jaquel, that they didn't each have Bibles of their own anyway.
Well, I do know that, Dad.
You do know that they didn't have anything until Moses wrote it down.
I mean, that's what I was implying. It was the post-Moses Israelites. Sheesh. Sheesh.
Okay, dokey.
Anyways.
Hey, how's your Bible reading going?
Oh, it's going good.
With baby, like, how is that? Missing any days, Jaquel? Huh? Huh?
Occasionally,
oh,
yes.
Excuses for sin.
But it's not good when I miss a day. I'm not making an excuse.
It's not.
Right now I'm reading the Psalms.
Oh.
So that's...
Why?
Well, because I finished my Bible reading plan.
Sorry.
I can't believe I
that
just skipped
terrible.
Over that. Why?
That
because
was,
it's the Bible?
That was
oh,
terrible.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Because I finished my Bible reading plan
yeah,
like 2 weeks that before she was born.
Oh, yeah.
And so then I was like, oh, what should I do? And I talked to mom about it. And mom was very helpful in encouraging me to have a plan in advance and not just like assume that Bible reading is going to happen when life's a little crazy, a little cray cray.
Yeah.
And so I decided to just read through the Psalms. And so when she was born, from day one, I had 4 goals every day. Shower, read a psalm, feed the baby, and feed myself.
Shower, shalm.
That's how Lucy will pronounce it when she's like 2 years old.
I love the shalm, mommy.
Okay, maybe not.
It's getting crazy.
So what are we talking about today?
Jaquel, we are talking about...
So Canadian.
About.
Wow.
We're talking about. Listen, Jaquel.
Oh, okay.
It's time to get serious.
All right.
Things are crazy in the world right now, right?
They really are.
I mean, like, let's just talk about why the world is so crazy. I mean, you've got all the race stuff going on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind
of
a lot
of strife.
Actually, let's back up a little bit. You've got the whole coronavirus
global
craziness,
pandemic. Yeah.
Right?
Let's start there.
And that has a huge impact on this world, but on people's lives individually,
for
right?
Sure.
So people are they've been cooped up for 3 months. Everybody's got different views of how the virus should be dealt with.
Right.
You know, in the world and in the church, you know. So you've got the virus, and that's messing with people's heads. Mm-hmm. And then of course you've got the whole race thing going on, which was really that kind of the whole George Floyd thing set off a storm. Mm. On that one, and kind of brought everything back up to the surface, and so then that set things going crazy, and then I mean, I guess all, those two things are connected, but really, then you've got all the craziness in the church right now,
yeah,
right. So actually connected to both of those things, so you've got people disagreeing about how the church should be handling the coronavirus and whether we should be opening or not, whether we should be requiring masks for everybody or not, and all of these differing views about that. And in the church, you've got all these differing views about justice, right? So I mean, like, maybe our listeners aren't fully aware of everything going on, but there's this huge debate within evangelical Christianity concerning social justice. And we just decided like, so we've had people say, you know, you're gonna do an episode on racism, or you can do an episode on this or that or the other thing, and we're like, look, this is what we're going to do an episode on right now. Mm-hmm. We're going to do an episode on the gospel.
It's
time to get back to basics, don't you think?
I think so.
Okay, I was.
Were you looking for more from that me?
I agree. Okay, I just the talked. Gospel I just is good. Listen. I just talked for like, I don't know, 5 minutes or something. Not 5 minutes,
but
I just talked for a long time there, a one stretch. So I thought maybe you might want to respond, but no. Apparently, I said everything perfectly.
You did. It was so flawless. So that's just keep good. Going. Keep going.
Okay.
I'm so fully supportive. So
That's what this podcast is just going to be. You're just going to be my Ed McMahon.
Amen, Pastor.
Yes,
sir.
Preach it. Okay. So we're just going to talk about the gospel.
Yes.
Okay? But we're going to make a few applications.
Yes.
For our present day milieu.
Yes. Hey, I thought of something to say. Now. Hey,
no, you can't do that. I left you a spot for something to say back. Okay,
no,
fine.
I'm jumping in.
Go ahead. I have something to say.
So I do know we have some listeners who have listened to this podcast from day one, or at least have gone back and listened to all the episodes. And
haven't,
you know,
all our listeners listened to every one of our episodes?
You know what, Dad? I don't think they have. And this is a great time to shame those who haven't. What are you doing with your time?
We don't shame people.
Anyways, for those who have listened from way back in the day, you may remember have done an episode on the gospel. And in that episode, we just kind of talked about, you know, what our mission as a podcast is as it relates to the gospel.
Hold on a second here, Jaquel. Let me just interrupt. I suspect that we've done more than one episode about the gospel. I think all of our episodes are about the gospel, Jaquel. You're saying we've had one episode on the gospel?
This is
a podcast about the gospel
you.
For young people, or for young people about the gospel or something.
So
I don't
bad.
Know.
Anyways, we have talked about the gospel in literally every episode, but we did do a whole episode on the gospel years ago. But
years.
As Dad said, this episode is going to specifically relate to the application of the gospel in our world today. And I mean,
sort of.
I mean, yes, sort of.
It's also just going to be about the gospel. It's like, listen, Christians, it's time to get back to what is most important in our world and in our lives, isn't it? And in our churches?
It is.
Isn't it, Jaquel? Isn't it just time to be reminded that it's all about the gospel?
It is.
Because somebody once told me, this young lady once told me that the gospel changes most things.
Wow. What?
No,
what a...
she didn't say that. She said the gospel changes everything.
Wow,
Jaquel.
What a genius!
That daughter, that girl, she was brilliant. But her parents, my soul, those parents.
So what is the gospel?
Yeah. Well, okay, hold on. Okay, so gospel. If you're a Christian, you probably know gospel means good news, right? But we call it. It's the gospel. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the definite article, Jaquel. Do you remember your grammar lessons?
I do.
What does it mean when there's a definite article before something?
It like, means...
If you look into the parking lot and you say, look at the car in the parking lot, what does that imply?
There's only one car.
Right, exactly. So if you say the good news, what does that imply?
That there is one good news?
Yeah, it does. Okay, there's other news that's good, but the point here is that there is no news that is better than this news.
Right, it is the best news.
It eclipses all other news. It is the supreme, ultimate, best news. So when you say the good news, the question is not, oh, well, which good news? There is only one news that is the good news.
Right, because this is the thing that, like, informs anything else good or any other news that there could be.
Yeah, everything else is beneath this. There is no, I mean, like, so all other news in one sense is not good in comparison with this.
Right.
This eclipses them all. And so I just think that's something to stop and think on for a moment. Before you even talk about what is this good news, just right. Understand that it is the good news.
And that's a helpful reminder for us who, you know, maybe have heard a million times that the gospel means good news. We're like, yeah, it means good news. But just to be reminded that it is the good news, the greatest news on the planet.
Right. Which made me think of something else. And that's that so often when we're hearing a sermon and sometimes, like, you know, most often is the case. I mean, the gospel, I'm preaching in John's gospel right now. Mm-hmm. And so the gospel is always interweaved throughout the sermon. But oftentimes a preacher will preach a text and then at the end, you know, he'll explain the gospel. He'll show how the text there includes the gospel. And sometimes Christians can be tempted to go, oh, here's the gospel part. He's going to talk about Jesus. And they just kind of
tune out
or start thinking about what's for lunch or whatever. Yeah. It's like, whoa, people. Like when you hear the gospel, we should never be like, oh, I know that because there's no better news.
Right.
Like you should never, what's the word I'm looking for? Jekyll. Come on. What's the word?
I need
Come on.
A little bit more. What is it? A little bit more context.
The gospel should never be boring to you.
Sure.
You know, no, I do think, you know, we need to remind ourselves of that,
mm-hmm.
right? Because, I mean, when you've heard it a billion times,
yeah.
it can be like, oh, yeah, you know, oh, here's this part. I know that part. But no, right. man, you need to remind yourself that this is the good news, okay? Now, in light of the fact that there's good news, Jekyll, we need to talk about the bad news. So what is the bad news?
Yes. So the bad news is... Again, as maybe you have heard many times before, but is always...
And maybe you haven't.
Maybe you haven't. That we were created by God.
That's bad news, Jekyll.
To worship him and to live in obedience and submission to him.
Right. That sets the stage for the bad news.
And we failed. We failed.
Yes, that's the bad news.
Adam and Eve. Whoa.
Whoa, that was some nice timing there.
Jinx.
Do I owe you a soda?
You do.
Oh, I could go for a soda right now. Carry on.
So our first parents, Adam and Eve, were the ones who sinned. And because of that sin, that failure to obey God, every person is born a sinner. We are born with a fallen nature.
What about Presbyterian children?
They are also born fallen.
Sorry,
you are such a troublemaker.
I'm
oh
sorry.
My goodness.
Oh,
my
it's
goodness.
So fun to be in the same room recording again.
Yes.
All children. Yes, absolutely. Good.
Yes.
Good. Sorry, all
Thank
people.
You. Thank you so much.
All people. So, every. So there's no human being that is
no
not born a sinner.
Human being.
Everyone.
Sin. Yeah.
Paul makes that pretty clear in Romans chapter 3-5, essentially, and many other places in
and
the
that's,
Bible.
And that's actually pretty bad news, because it means every person is born estranged from God. Every person is born an enemy of God.
Yeah, you're right when you say that's pretty bad news. That's, in fact, the bad news. There is no worse news than that. So while there is no better news than the gospel, there is no worse news than the bad news that you have just mentioned.
Right, because the consequence of sin is death, and we cannot save ourselves from sin and its consequences. So if the problem of sin is to be dealt with, this thing that we say is
right.
the bad news, the quintessential human problem is
right.
to be solved, God is the one who must do it. And this is where we get to the good news.
Right, the good news proper. Like, I mean, it's interesting. If you ask 20 Christians to tell me what the good news is, you'll hear 20 variations sometimes. I'm not saying in every circumstance, but oftentimes, I mean, I've done this before.
Right.
I've asked a number of Christians to write down what the good news is. Mm-hmm. And now there is different ways to write it, but essentially the good news is just simply, I mean, and Paul makes this clear in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, is that Jesus died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and he rose from the grave in accordance with the scriptures. Now, I think if somebody said to me, what is the gospel? I'd want to say a little bit more than
sure.
that. I would want to talk about Jesus' perfect life,
mm-hmm.
that he lived a perfect life so that he could impute his righteousness to sinners. And then he took sin upon himself. He died in the place of sinners so that their sin could be forgiven, that he received the wrath of God that was due to sinners, and then he rose from the grave. But essentially, the good news is that Jesus died for our sins and Jesus rose from the grave. He did this for his people so that they could have eternal life, which leads to the next question.
Right. Who are his people?
Yeah. And how do these people get saved?
Yeah.
Right. So that if God is the one who did it, but then he's then also, right. And this is a key point. We've talked about this when we dealt with the issue of election, right? If he's the one who's chosen who are his people, mm-hmm. he has also chosen the means by which they are to be saved. The right. means by which the problem of sin is dealt with. In other words, how do you become one of God's people and have your sins forgiven? This problem, how do you get the worst news dealt with in your life, your sin?
Right.
And what we learn in scripture from Paul in Romans 1:16 is that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, first to the Jew and also to the Gentile or to the Greek. So we know that the gospel is the power of God to salvation, and we know that people must hear the gospel, right? Faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of God.
Yep.
And that they, if they want to become a child of God, they must respond in repentance and faith. That is the response,
yeah.
right? Like, I think sometimes Christians get the gospel and the response to the gospel confused.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel is that Jesus died and rose from the grave. The response to the gospel is to repent and believe. In Mark 1:14 and 15, it says, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That is the response.
And then, so our responsibility as Christians is to preach the gospel to all. If we believe that if we want this world to be a better place, the preaching of this good news, the proclamation of the gospel, has to be our number one priority.
So there's no better news there than the gospel. There's no worse news than our sin and its consequences. And thus there's no more important responsibility for the child of God than to preach the gospel. Imagine that you have 5 minutes with somebody, the last 5 minutes of their lives. What are you going to take the time to tell them? What is more important to tell them? Is there anything more important than the bad news and the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ? No, of course there's not. So the gospel is priority number one. And for a few reasons, okay, for a few reasons. The first reason is that if we want this world to be a better place, the preaching of the gospel is going to result in this world becoming a better place. For a few reasons. First, because it will result in there being less sin in this world because more sinners will be saved and enabled to please God. Now, of course, unbelievers can do good things, and so they can make this world a good place. But non-Christians cannot do ultimately good things because they do not do them in praise of God. So that's why Paul says in Romans 8 that those who are in the flesh cannot please God, right? You cannot do something that's pleasing to God because you're not doing it to please God. So it's not as though unbelievers can't make this world a better place, but they can't. Ultimately, if we want to see less sin in this world, then we need to preach the gospel so that more sinners get saved.
Right.
But also, not only will it lead to more Christians in society and thus less sin in society, it will lead to more Christians in government. Right? So sometimes the understanding that the gospel is of the most importance can lead people to think, so we don't want to have anything to do with government. Leave government alone. We're just going to preach the gospel. No, we want to have more Christians in government, because what does that result in? That results in more just laws, because exactly. they recognize their responsibility to govern under the authority of God.
Right, right. And this is where, like, I just want to say, so some people during this time who have been, you know, maybe making the same point as us that we need to get back to the gospel, that the gospel is the most important thing. You know, in response, some people have kind of said, you know, that's just a cop out. That's just, you're just throwing that out there, but it's not going to result in anything. You're not going to change anything. You're not going to do anything. And this is where that's absolutely not true. If we really believe that, you know, the gospel changes everything.
We definitely do.
If we truly believe that the gospel, the good news is the response to the worst problem that there is, then it will change everything. And it having more Christians in society, like, that will address injustice in such a massive fundamental way.
And I mean, you know, even beyond just in society and in the government, you could get more specific, you know, more Christians in schools,
right.
more Christians in restaurants, more Christians in malls, more Christians everywhere will make the best impact on society that you could possibly make. I just happened to finish reading a great book that you lent me, in fact, by Mike Reeves, called Spurgeon on the Christian Life. And in that, There's a quote by Spurgeon, which basically sums up what Jekyll and I have been talking about thus far. Spurgeon says, "We have only to preach the living gospel and the whole of it to meet the whole of the evils of the times." That's it. To reach the whole of the evils of the times. He says, preach the gospel. The gospel, he goes on to say, if it were fully received through the whole earth, would purge away all slavery and all war and put down all drunkenness and all social evils. In fact, you cannot conceive a moral curse which it would not remove. Mm. And even physical evils, since many of them arise incidentally from sin, would be greatly mitigated and some of them forever abolished.
Yeah.
I mean, that's gold right there.
Yeah.
So that basically sums up what we're saying here. But not only does preaching the gospel result in more Christians in society, but preaching the gospel results in more sanctification amongst those who are Christians.
Right, because this is what we're saying. Like, the application of the gospel results in more good works. And we're not just saying, like, you know, preach the gospel and don't respond to people who are hungry, don't respond to the needy, don't try to, you know, deal with the sin and suffering in this world. We're saying that it's because of the gospel as the primary thing that we're equipped to do this. So first and foremost, with all the craziness going on, the gospel informs how we think about justice,
right,
in this world, because God is the one who defines justice. And that, again, like, if we're starting at the point of the gospel, that's going to change how we talk about justice, how we think about justice, and how we act justly.
Yeah, yeah. Furthermore, I mean, the gospel doesn't only inform how we think about justice and how we define justice. And that's really the key issue there, is the definition of justice. There is only one justice. But the gospel also informs how we deal with injustices in the world.
Yeah.
So we don't have a problem using specific methods and whatnot. But it does mean that we only can... How do I put this? I mean, I don't think there's any other way to put it than that there's a certain way that Christians respond to different things in this world, including injustice. And we don't just get to say, oh, well, we're going to respond this way because this is the way everybody was responding. Or we don't get to say, well, you know, we can sort of understand why people are responding in a certain way because of the injustice toward them. So we'll kind of excuse the way that they're addressing it.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't have that freedom. The gospel informs how we deal with injustice in this world because, you know, when the gospel is proclaimed and sanctification takes place, Jesus says in John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So when the word is preached and Christians' lives are changed, they must then live in response to the word that they've heard proclaimed. And there's finally one other thing that I'll say in regards to this, and that's that the gospel informs who we may cooperate with as we seek to make this world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of a tough one. Right. It's kind of a tough one. And I mean, I think it's one of those things. I don't know about you, Jekyll, but I think it's one of those things where I'm constantly kind of reevaluating where I think, mm-hmm, about it. And I'm willing to change my mind on this. But basically, I think where I'm at when it comes to cooperating with other people to make this world a better place, or cooperating with other organizations, I think that at the least we cannot cooperate with people or organizations that are anti-gospel.
Mm-hmm.
OK, so they don't necessarily have to be pro-gospel. But they can't be anti-gospel. And so rather than using probably what is one of the most controversial organizations and issues right now, let me just bring up another example. So, for example, I can cooperate with a group that wants to seek to abolish abortion, mm-hmm, to get rid of abortion, even if they're not pro-gospel. Say they just think, hey, you know, we shouldn't murder infants in the womb. Like,
right,
because just any average human being should be able to see, yeah, that.
We,
right,
can get on board with that.
It doesn't take a Christian to see that. So if there's a group and they're like, all we want to do is get rid of abortion, mm-hmm, okay, you can stand with them. But let's just suppose that that same group says, we want to abolish abortion, but we want to promote euthanasia, mm-hmm, because we don't want to murder infants in the womb, but those old people and sick people, we need to get rid of them.
Right.
Okay, there you go. That is anti-gospel, mm-hmm, right? Because they might be pro-life over here, but they're anti-life over here.
Yeah.
And thus that's anti-gospel. So... That's kind of where I stand. If an organization or an individual is actively seeking to minimize the gospel, to oppose the gospel, if they're actively promoting things that are definitely condemned by Scripture, we can't be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much society tries to force you into that, no matter how much your friends or other or social media tries to pressure you into this, you can't do that. Because again, like back to what Jaquel said, you know, the gospel really, we joke about this all the time, but we honestly believe that the gospel truly changes everything. And so, like, you know, I made a joke earlier on when she said we did an episode on the gospel, but the reality is that we believe that every single one of our episodes, we are attempting to apply the gospel, because it is the gospel that has changed us and continues to change us, and it influences everything that we do. So we can't just turn a blind eye on a specific issue.
No,
we just can't do it. We don't have that option.
Right. Our faith always results in action.
Yeah.
Like we, as the gospel informs how we think about things, the gospel informs what we do about things. And as we look around this world right now, and there is so much suffering, there is so much confusion, there is so much strife, both within the church and without it, what we need more than anything else is to get back to the gospel, and thus to be thinking rightly and acting in response to this good news.
Exactly. Preach the gospel and think about how the gospel changes everything.
Right.
All right, Jaquel, so where can people find us online if they want to send us any hate mail?
They can find us on our website, ageofminority.com. Just leave us a little hate comment there. Or email us personally at Jaquel or Sean at ageofminority.com. You can also find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And if you want to head over to iTunes.
Yes.
And
leave us a one-star
positive
review. A five-star review.
You can do that. We would appreciate it so much. And we might even read your review on air.
We've shown we review reviews that are not as complex. Oh no, that's not really true. That one was a bit of an issue.
Right.
But we'll review any review. So yeah,
maybe.
More than likely,
possibly.
Okay, Jaquel. Until next week.
This has been Age of Minority.